Chapter 5. I scoured the thick branches above us for any signs of the archer, but all I could see was the brown and green layers of foliage. So I motioned for everyone to duck down behind the trunks as well as they could, until we found whoever had attacked us.
Just let me get my sword on that guy,
Skye grunted, as she gripped the Sword of Youth.
Me and Juniper can take him out.
Hang on a second, I warned her. If we can't see our opponent, we can't take him out, and right now all I see are leaves and branches. Skye clenched her jaw in frustration but nodded her head. I poked my head out from behind the trunk and focused my dragon vision on the tree line. Normally I used my enhanced senses to see in the dark, but this time I had to pick out our attacker from the surroundings he or she apparently was quite familiar with blending into. And that was making my job much harder. Suddenly, another arrow whizzed through the air, and I ducked behind the narrow trunk just in time to see the projectile fly past me. I stifled a frustrated roar and looked around the other side of the tree. A flash of white caught my eye as the archer loaded another arrow against the bowstring, and I realized the arrowhead was white and stood out among the browns and greens of the forest. Before he could release the arrow, I conjured my own fiery bow and arrow and whipped around the back side of the tree with my arrow aimed directly at the archer. Stand down, I ordered, or I'll have to shoot you. I couldn't see the archer's face beneath the hood of his brown robe, but I got the feeling he was trying to decide what to do. His fingers twitched on the arrow in his hand, and I decided to offer a warning shot. We couldn't enter every city by killing whoever guarded it, but I wasn't about to take an arrow in order to play nice. I released my fiery arrow into the tree mere inches above his head, and he ducked before he sent his own arrow flying back toward me. The third shot was wild, as though he hadn't even tried to aim at me, and it whizzed through the branches several yards to our right. Come on, I bellowed. I only miss on purpose once. The archer froze for a split second, and I caught a glimpse of his face before he whirled around and sprinted across the branches. Shit. I took off running, but I couldn't see a way to easily reach the branches overhead and catch our attacker. The lowest hanging branches were still 3 feet above my head, and I was fast, but I hadn't assimilated kangaroo jumping abilities just yet. So I continued to run underneath the archer. I watched as he leapt from tree to tree without flinching, and I pictured him as a modern-day Tarzan while he deftly traveled through the forest above me. I never took my eyes off him as he weaved his way around the beaten path and continued south. I seriously considered using my swiftness to run up a tree trunk and catch up with him, but I hadn't tested the vertical abilities of my speed, and I couldn't risk losing the archer in this expansive forest. So I just have to keep trucking along under him. Then he slipped on a stray piece of moss, and he nearly lost his footing before he abandoned his bow and pressed on. I wondered for a moment if I could use my swiftness to sprint ahead and then climb into his path. But he knew this forest. He would probably switch paths before I could even make it onto the lowest branch. We didn't get a chance to find out. Suddenly the archer jumped a few feet in front of me, and I activated my speed to shoulder tackle him from behind. We rolled a few feet in a tangle of arms and legs as I tried to get a grip on him, though I got the distinct feeling he was more interested in escaping than fighting me. He blindly swung his bow and fist in my direction, but I dodged his weak strikes without much effort. As I wrapped my legs around his, he slithered out of my grasp and dug one boot in the ground to try to push off into a sprint. But I grabbed his foot and yanked him back toward me again. Then I pulled him close enough to grab the bow from his hand and tossed it a few feet away. Let me go! The archer wailed as he squirmed and kicked at my hand with his other foot. Would you just chill out? I grunted. What do you want with me? He groaned and threw an elbow into the side of my head. That blow finally connected, and my eyes rolled back for a moment before I grabbed his arm and wrenched it behind him, pushed him onto his belly, and let most of my weight sink into his back to hold him down. I'm just looking for a place, I hissed as I leaned over him. Just let me talk to you. Okay. the archer said with a shudder. I'll tell you what you want to know. Can I just sit up? Thank you, I muttered, as I slowly took my weight off his back. Now, sit right here and tell me where Capacia is. But the moment I tried to lift him to sit on his rear, he shoved off me again. Oh, slimy little bastard. This time he got his feet under him, but his speed was still no match for mine. I hit the back of his knees, and he tumbled onto the ground again. I clambered forward and managed to wrap one arm around his shoulders and my legs around his hips. It was a reflexive movement I'd learned from years in martial arts, but I'd already noticed the archer was no novice. He pressed the balls of his feet into the ground and shoved his hips upward before he attempted to roll out of my grasp. He was stronger than I'd realized, not just slippery, and he nearly escaped my hold, but I quickly repositioned my forearm to press against his throat until I could hear his breathing become labored. If you stop fighting, I'll let you breathe, I warned him. Just chill out. My hostage didn't say a word, but he grunted and continued to press against me until he was gasping for air. Then the rest of my party finally caught up, and they came to a screeching halt behind me.
My lord, look,
Aliona breathed. Kind of busy at the moment, I grumbled, as I grabbed my fist to pull my grip tighter. If he would stop fighting me, we'd be done with this.
Look at him,
she insisted. I finally looked down at the struggling archer and nearly lost my grip in surprise. He had pale, creamy skin and cherubic features, but it wasn't his face that truly captured my attention. It was the pointy ears on either side of his head. They were the same size as mine, except for the long, angled tips that almost doubled his ear size. I hadn't noticed during our tussle, but now that he was right in front of me, it was hard to miss. An elf? I asked, as my jaw dropped.
Like you've never seen one of us before,
he grunted, as he tried to push his chin between my arm and his throat. I haven't, I said. I don't want to knock you out, but you're making it hard not to. Just stop fighting me. I'm not here to hurt you. He continued to twist and turn under me, and Aliona leaned down to cast her binding spell. Within seconds, the elf was wrapped in her white tendrils of magic, and his soft face was hardened with anger.
I think we found Capacia, Nike announced, and pointed.
I followed his finger and had to do a double take. Capacia was beautiful. Silver and gold buildings lined both sides of a cobblestone street, though the structures were no taller than the trees that surrounded the city. The buildings shimmered in the sunlight, and the shine contrasted starkly with the darkness of the forest.
No wonder they keep it so well hidden, I murmured,
and I couldn't take my eyes off the glimmering city.
Until now, the elf groaned.
I told you we didn't come here to hurt anyone, I said, as I pursed my lips and stared at the archer.
Now, I want to speak to the leader of Capacia.
The elf glared at me but didn't respond.
Maybe he doesn't have a way to talk to the leader,
Isabella suggested. Or he thinks keeping his mouth shut will save him from any trouble he'll get in for not stopping us, I scoffed. Does that sound about right? The archer turned away and pouted, so I took that as a yes.
Looks like we'll have to find the leader on our own,
Lyca declared as her furry gray ears twitched atop her head.
I don't think it will be difficult,
Ravi said and pointed further into the city. Sure enough, I could just see the spires of a large castle a few blocks past the entrance. Then that's where we'll go, I muttered, as I pulled the elf to his feet. Let's go say hello. I yanked the elf along next to me as we started down the stone road to the castle. There were no other elves along the road, and I started to wonder if we'd found another ghost town. No eyes peeked out from behind curtains or doors as we passed, and no one walked along the streets of the city. Then I started to get the creeps as the castle came into full view. The buildings on the outskirts of town had been beautiful, but the palace was stunning. The silver exterior sparkled and seemed to almost glow, and as we got closer, I could see tiny jewels were embedded at varying intervals around each spire and along the balcony railings. It made the castle look even more glittery than the silver blocks alone, but something about it sent a shiver down my spine. It didn't feel like someone's home. It felt cold and uninviting. I wasn't sure what to expect, but we continued to the large wooden doors.
We approached the castle, and I decided to knock on the front door since no one seemed interested in the group of strangers on the street. Before I could even get one foot on the bottom step, though, a group of 4 or 5 elves rushed out the door and pointed their swords at us. None of them said anything, not even a threat, and we all stood in awkward silence for at least 10 seconds as their blades inched closer towards us.
Now can I use mine?
Skye begged with an edge to her voice. No, we need them to know we aren't here to hurt anyone, I said. But I figured the elf prisoner currently at my side would make that difficult. I waited for the guards to speak, but their angry brown eyes were concentrated on me, and they didn't seem to have much to say. They just stood with their swords at the ready, as though we were there to attack them, despite the fact our own weapons were still on our belts. I narrowed my eyes on each of the elf guards, but not a single one twitched under my gaze.
Maybe you should introduce us,
Aliona whispered. Right. My name is Lord Evan of Hatra, I announced. I need to speak with the leader of Capacia immediately. Still not a word. The guards continued to glare at me with their swords ready for an attack.
Maybe tell them you'll let the archer go, Nike offered.
Yeah, okay, I said before I raised my voice again. I'll release this elf if the leader of Capacia will come speak with me. It's an urgent matter. The guard's stoic silence was starting to grate on my nerves. I'd introduced myself and told them what I needed, but they didn't look like they'd budge. I started to formulate a new, more exciting plan that involved our own swords, when the front door of the castle opened again, and a tall male elf with long chestnut hair and a slightly smaller female elf walked out onto the landing and sneered down at us. I didn't know how old elves could get, but these ones both looked to be in their 50s, though the woman wore about a pound of makeup to try to look younger. Her silky golden gown draped the floor around her feet, and an ungodly number of gold bracelets adorned each arm. The man wore thick gold robes with a white cape over his shoulders that dragged along the ground behind him. Their pursed lips and disapproving eyes immediately irritated me. But I cleared my throat before the male elf finally spoke.
"You've come for what purpose?"
the man demanded. "I need to speak with you privately," I said. "Will you give me an audience once I release this elf?"
"I believe you shall release him regardless,"
the woman declared as she lifted her nose even higher in the air.
"You are an intruder in our city, and Joseph had a job to do. Capturing him was not your place, so you shall release him immediately."
Her accent and words put me on edge. It was regal, and she seemed to be unnecessarily rolling her R's. It was also annoying, and I wanted to get this shit over with ASAP. "I believe you're wrong," I countered. "I captured this man trying to attack me, and I took him to save my people. Now, are you going to talk to me if I agree to let him go?" The pair turned to each other, and they began whispering to each other. I gritted my teeth while this went on for what seemed like forever, but I held back my frustration.
"We agree to hear your answer as to why you've come to Capacia," the man finally said. "Then we will decide if we will talk to you."
"No," I replied firmly. "I need your word that we can have an honest discussion." The two elves conferred again before the woman nodded and crossed her arms over her ample chest. I turned to Aliona, and she called back her binding spell. The archer stretched his arms and avoided looking at the regal couple. I could tell he was ashamed he hadn't been able to keep us out, but at least he was alive. Joseph scampered away from our conversation, and the male leader motioned for me to continue. "We are looking for someone."
"Then we cannot help you,"
the woman interjected.
"We have no time to waste with a search party. Thank you, but you are now free to leave."
The female elf spun on her heels to walk back inside the castle, and the man started to join her.
"You made a deal,"
Aaliyah called out with a small roar.
"And we discussed it,"
the woman spat out over her shoulder.
"No, we did not," I scoffed. "I told you what I'm here for, and you tried to make us leave without any of the details. It doesn't work like that."
"In Capacia, the Duke and Duchess make all the decisions,"
the man said with a furrowed brow. "We have no idea who you are. You merely showed up in our city unannounced. Who are you to question us?"
"Lord Evan of Hatra," I answered, and jutted out my chin in defiance.
"And I'm not done, so neither are you."
"Yes, we are."
The Duchess smirked before she waved her hand at the guards.
"They need to leave, or they can face the consequences of disobeying the royal house."
"Get the fuck over yourselves," I rolled my eyes. "I don't really care if you don't trust me, but you will listen to every damn word I say. I'm here on a life-or-death mission, and all I need is some information from you. Then you can go on about your merry lives." The Duke and Duchess turned to each other and began another fevered, whispered conversation. So I tuned in my dragon hearing, but could still only pick out a few words.
"Is he the—"
she trailed off.
"I can't— what he'd want with us," her husband murmured back.
"I'll tell you all about what I want as soon as you let us inside," I cut in with a smirk. Then I flashed the scales on my arms and let a lick of flame flick out of my mouth like a fiery tongue. "And yeah, I'm a dragon, so I can hear you." The Duchess looked appalled as she pressed a hand to her chest and glanced at her husband, and they stared into each other's eyes for what felt like a full minute before the Duke turned to look at us.
"You may come into our castle," he finally said, "but we will not spend much more of our precious time on this matter. We have more important matters to attend to in order to keep our city running."
With that, the couple whirled around and headed inside. The guards sheathed their swords and allowed us to pass without incident, and we followed the royal couple into the castle with the guards right behind us. My treasure-hunting instincts were already buzzing when I saw the jewels on the exterior walls, but they started going bonkers once we walked inside. I could sense tons and tons of treasure within the castle, but I knew I had to temper the desire to find every last bit of gold. The Duke and Duchess led us to a living area just inside the door, and the Duchess reached over to light a fire in the massive fireplace. They sat on a love seat together and watched us all file inside. We eyed the room for a moment as we quickly realized they must not have guests often, since there was only the love seat and a couch in the living area. Both pieces of furniture featured plush crimson cushions with French-style gold legs and more of the multicolored stones embedded in the gold. Aliona and I sat on the couch across from the elf rulers, while the rest of our group crowded around behind it. The elf couple stared at us with disdain, and I had to swallow all the words I was thinking in order to get what I wanted out of them. As much as I wanted to tell these pompous pricks to give me the information I needed, they didn't seem keen on my more violent actions, and I'd have to find a way to work with them to figure out who the noble of the sword was. My inner dragon was less than pleased with my decision to stay calm, but I ignored his grumbling for now. "Thank you," I said with a smile. "Now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about—"
"Please do not bore us with your story,"
the Duke cut me off with a wave of his hand.
"We only wish to know what we can do for you so you will leave our precious city."
"I only hope you aren't here to take our gold,"
the Duchess added with a frown.
"I've heard stories about dragons and their desire for such items."
"I'm not stealing your stuff," I scoffed. "If I wanted your treasure, it would already be mine."
"Perhaps giving you some would speed up this process,"
her husband said with an arrogant smirk. "I don't need a bribe," I grumbled. "As I said, I'm looking for someone, and the information I have says you can help me figure out who."
"You're looking for someone you don't know?"
The Duchess lifted a doubtful eyebrow.
"How are we going to know about someone if you don't know anything?"
"I didn't say I know nothing about the person," I clarified. "In fact, I know something very important about him or her, but I don't know the name. That's where you two come in. I'll describe this person to you, and you tell me who it is. It's not that difficult."
"And if we give you a name, you'll leave Capacia?" the Duke asked.
"Eventually," I hedged. "I'll need to speak with this person, and hopefully it won't take long. We're on a bit of a time crunch, in case you forgot the life-or-death mission part of my introduction."
You have all these people with you, and none of them can help you with your problem.
The Duke scoffed as he looked over my group.
I sense a few of you have the power to read nature. Can't they use them to find your person?
Well, they've all helped me already, I shot back. Now I'm looking for someone who lives here.
And how do you know they live here?
The Duchess whined. Magic, I said as simply as I could. So if you'd be so kind as to listen, I'll explain. The person I'm looking for is a noble.
Yes, yes, we have plenty of those here,
the Duke interjected and rolled his eyes.
As you can see, we've ensured our city is very wealthy, which is why we also have treasure we can give you as soon as you promise to leave.
Brag much?
Rebecca muttered. Yeah, Capacia is nice, I agreed with a grimace. Anyway, this particular noble has a certain sword. I neglected to give specific details about the noble sword to the elf couple. They were already on my nerves with their attitude, and I knew I couldn't trust them in the slightest.
A sword?
The Duchess laughed.
Everyone has a sword. We live in the middle of a forest.
I can understand that, I said. But this sword is special. A one-of-a-kind blade. It would stand out, and only one family has been able to use it. My last sentence appeared to freeze the couple in their tracks, and they glanced at each other and had some sort of silent conversation while I waited for their response. It seemed I'd struck a chord, but their stiff bodies told me it wouldn't be easy to move forward. Then my instincts were proven right.
We won't tell you a damn thing,
the Duchess spat out.